Philippians chapter number 2, we'll start out tonight. Philippians chapter number 2. Two weeks ago, we talked about, anybody remember? Attentiveness. Very good, Brother Richard. You were paying attention in the message on attentiveness. Excellent, okay. We talked about attentiveness. Today, we want to look at the characteristic of availability. Availability. Paul said of Timothy in verse 20 of chapter 2 of Philippians, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." What a compliment paid to Timothy from an incredible man of God like Paul. Paul said, "I'm sending him to you, and the reason I am is because Timothy is available to anyone. He's totally not about himself. He's not self-serving." And it's interesting that in this passage, this whole chapter 2 is about being totally unselfish, if you will. And his ultimate example was Jesus Christ. And he goes through and then says, "By the way, Timothy is a guy I can trust to send to you." What an amazing thing. Availability versus self-centeredness. One person said the definition of availability is making my own schedule and priorities secondary to the wishes of those I am serving. Ouch, right? It's like, let's just stop right there. And, you know, wow. Availability, according to the dictionary, means having the qualification or willingness to do something or to assume a responsibility. Another says three different things define, if you will, or give us the idea of availability. Learning to reject distractions that hinder me from fulfilling my responsibilities. Anybody ever get distracted about what's happening? Rejecting ambitions that would hinder me, that would hinder me from delighting in God-given priorities. What is it priority that God has? So I'm rejecting ambitions that would hinder me from delighting in God-given priorities. Standing by a task until it is fully completed. I have two of my children in here tonight. They're not normally in here on Wednesday night, so I just thought about this, but I used to sing a little chorus to them. Finish the job, get it done. I know it's not original with me. Some of you look at me like, you didn't make that up. I knew that. But I got real familiar with it, right? It's like, get it done. Let's just finish what God has given us right here to us. And so as we think about this study, are you available to God? What does that mean? And God says, "I'd like for you to do this." Are you available to him? Are you available to your authorities? Ready to serve? Do you make time each day to be available to God's Spirit and his Word? If you're not available, he can't speak to you. Do you make times each week and come to church and be attentive to the preacher? Someone has said the greatest ability is availability. Isn't it interesting today that if you show up on time and do an average work, you don't even have to do good work, you just have to do average work, you're probably going to be promoted in most companies. Years ago, I don't know if those of you that have been here for quite a long time, remember Phil Anderson. Phil and Patty came to our church, man, long, long time ago. Now, Phil was, he did large concrete pads. So our concrete pad for this building over here would have been nothing. I mean, we're talking massive ones with big boom trucks and all that kind of stuff. And I said to him one day, I said, "Phil, what really do you do? I don't quite understand the concept or whatever." He said, "Do you really want to know what I do?" I said, "Yeah, what's your primary job?" He said, "Getting people out of bed." And I said, "Are you serious?" He said, "I'm dead serious. They pay me a lot of money to make sure guys get into the job. I'm like, what a shame that guys won't go to the job, right? It's like, oh man. You must make yourself available to do whatever God wants you to do. Whatever God wants you to do. That's a convicting statement, I think, in my life at least. And we're going to look at a number of Bible stories tonight. And I'll give you a scriptural reference, but some of them we're not going to turn and read the entire story, okay? A lot of you will know the context of them. But we'll just talk through some things and try to look at why this was so difficult for these individual people. Number one example I'm going to use, and by the way, we could have done tons more tonight. But number one is Samuel was available. Samuel was available. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10 is the story I want to talk about from Samuel. Samuel was available in a lot of areas, but this story starts when he is a very young boy. And eventually, he says what we famously know, that statement, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Now, what we forget a lot of times is God listened to him and did speak to Samuel. And what did he tell him? A lot of people forget that. How old is Samuel here? He is a young boy. And Eli is his mentor. And he's not only his mentor, if you will, but he's totally dependent upon him. His mom has left them there. He's been left there from the time he was weaned. And you know what the message is? Eli is a wicked man, and his sons are wicked, and I'm going to judge him because his sons were wicked and he didn't restrain them, and I'm going to remove him. And not only did he have to bear that, but guess what Eli asked the very first question the next morning? You and God have a conversation last night? What did he say to you? You're talking about a difficult task. Now, by the way, to Eli's credit, he didn't jump on Samuel. He basically said, "That's God's right. That's what's going to happen." But as a young boy, to say that, can you imagine a boy 6 or 7 years old, and you saying to them, "Did you and God talk last night?" "We sure did." "What did he say?" "Well, actually said, you're a wicked man, your sons are wicked, and you've refused to deal with them, and so God's just going to judge you and kill them all." I mean, we forget that's exactly what he had to say to them. The boy is one of the greatest prophets to live. And God incredibly used him, but he was available. And by the way, he did not know what he was making himself available for. He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Wow. The second one that we see in Scripture is Josiah was available. 2 Kings chapter 22. I'd like for us to turn to that passage, if you would, please. 2 Kings chapter number 22. See some interesting things here about some of these first stories. 2 Kings chapter number 22, and we'll pick up in verse 8. And just to give you an idea of where we're at here, chapter 22 and verse 1, how old was Josiah in this story? 8. Okay? He was 8. This perspective here, all right? Judson's 7 and a half, right? He'll be 8 in March. So my grandson's pushing that. So just imagine the Hefners and I, our grandson, Dan and Sarah's son, ruling a kingdom. They're laughing back there too, right? He does build his own kingdoms. Matter of fact, he built his kingdom in my little fort in the backyard. And then he started chunking stuff off the fort, you know. I'm like, "Son, don't throw my coolers down the slide. That's not healthy for them, you know," or whatever. So that's the picture you might have, you know, of Josiah. Because that's about the age we're talking about. And we sometimes think that they're not boys, but they were. Notice what he says in verse 18. Hilkiah the priest and said unto Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Okay. multiple questions are to be coming to our mind, right? Who lost the book? So as far as we know, if you continue to read this story, they eventually read it to him. He is brokenhearted because he realizes we're living contrary to what God's word has said. But it's very obvious from this story that he had never heard nor seen this book. What a sad case that is. By the way, if you look back at other Old Testament passages of Scripture, do you know what every king that came to the throne was supposed to do? Write his own copy. It was commanded by God to do so. Because God said, I want you to know what's there. I want you to know what's required of you. But that didn't happen. How did he respond to the truth when it was presented to him? He immediately repented. He immediately begged them, go find out if God will be merciful to us. And at 8 years old, he led an incredible revival. Because he responded to the truth of God's word. Matter of fact, some believe it was the greatest revival in Israel's history. Pretty amazing. Because an 8-year boy made himself available to God. And God used him. The third example I'd like for us to look at in Scripture tonight is David was available. David was available. You want to guess what story I'm going to go to? 1 Samuel chapter 17. I know it's a very famous story, and we've heard, some of you probably have heard hundreds of messages on David and Goliath. But just because it's so familiar with us, don't miss the point. Again, how old was David? I think he was probably 13 or 14 years old. Some believe 15 or 16. We don't really know. We do know he was not 20. Because had he been 20, he would have already been in the army. And he was not. Only his three older brothers were in the army. There were other brothers as well. I think he could have been 13 or 14 years old. He immediately makes himself available to his dad, by the way. Responds to his dad. Obedience to him immediately. Does exactly what his dad says. When he gets to the location, he checks on his brother. He delivers his message. And then he's like, are none of you guys going to do anything about this big mouth over here? I mean, why? He's defying the armies of the living God. And if none of you will go, I'll go. God's let me kill a lion. Let me kill a bear. Saul tries to outfit him with his armor. That's crazy. By the way, Saul should have fought that battle. So David gets his little shepherd sling, his five little stones, goes down, and I love a couple things about, well, I love this whole story, but I love a couple specific things. One, David tells him exactly why he's going to kill him. Okay? So maybe David was the first trash talker, right? I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying, he tells him. He's like, today I'm going to take your head off and feed him to the birds because you've defied God, and you're not going to get away with that. This is not about me. This is about you defying my God. And so that's what's going to happen today. I just wanted you to know. And then the Bible says he runs towards him. He runs towards him. Picks up his own sword, and now everybody's happy, right? David made himself available. Now here's the deal. Don't miss this point. Which of the children of Israel could have done the same thing? Any of them. How many of those people was God on their side as well? Every one of them. In other words, any man standing on Israel's side could have done exactly what David did. And we might have, throughout history, been talking about Eliab and Goliath, or Saul and Goliath, or Jacob and Goliath. You're like, there's no Jacob in the story. I'm sure there probably was somewhere, right? I mean, that's a common name in the Bible. I'm just saying, that's what could have happened. But it didn't happen because none of them made themselves available to God. David was available. Because of it, God greatly used him. By the way, we know later that David made himself unavailable. In 2 Samuel chapter 11. I think it's significant that that chapter starts out by saying, and David stayed home when it was the time when kings go forth to battle. This is where David should have been, and he was not. And that led to his adultery and murder and so forth and so on, because he was unavailable. Number four example we see in Scripture was Isaiah was available. Okay. Thanks, Andrew. At least it's not a fire truck here. Praise the Lord. I did hear the siren and see the flashing, so I'm glad he came in. Isaiah was available. Isaiah chapter 6. He sees God high and lifted up. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Coals on the altar touches his lips. God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What was Isaiah's response? Here am I. Send me. I'm available, God. God gave Isaiah, by the way, a 50-year ministry and some pretty significant prophecies in the Old Testament. You can see him being available in verse 1 of chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 in chapter 6. He was attentive. Verse 8, he was attentive and available. What are some of the prophecies he gave to us in the book of Isaiah? He told us of the virgin birth. He told us the sign, or the return of Israel, is a sign of the second coming. He told us about the fall of Lucifer. He told us about the sufferings of Christ. He told us that John the Baptist would be the forerunner. Pretty significant things, isn't it? Why? Me, Lord. Send me. I'm available. What do you need me to do? We see number five that Philip was available in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And again, let's set the stage for us. Philip was available. What was happening? You read the context, there were great things happening in the evangelistic meeting where he was at. People were being changed. Souls were being saved. I mean, it was, if we would use the modern day, it was a barn burner of a meeting, right? I mean, it was happening. You'd like to preach one of those meetings, wouldn't you, Brother Norm? And God said, I got something for you to do in the desert. There's one guy out there I want you to witness to. But Lord, wouldn't it be far more effective for me to stay in the large city where there's a bunch of people around and I got one guy that I want you to go talk to. Okay, Lord. Here we go. And again, what does the Bible say? He's running beside the chariot. He's moving along beside the chariot. What are you reading? I don't know unless somebody explains it. Gets up in the chariot. Guess where he is? He's in the book of Isaiah. Is this guy talking about himself or some other? And he preaches unto him Jesus. We don't know this biblically, but historians say that it was that Ethiopian eunuch that started the churches all across North Africa. Pretty significant move there, because he made himself available. Do you know what we would do? You know what I have a tendency to do? Stand on the side of the road, and as the chariot comes by, I go, well, God, if you wanted me to talk to him, you should have stopped him. In other words, sometimes we come up with excuses why we can't serve, instead of that we can serve. Amazing. But you know, lastly, we see that Jesus was available. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, we've worked through 1 Peter already. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Christ suffered for us. And I have some examples here in my sermon notes, but let's talk about, I want you to talk to me tonight, what are some specific examples in the Gospels that we see where Jesus made himself available to people. Give me some stories. Brother Richard, the woman at the well. I have that, one of those, I think I do anyway. Maybe I don't. That's a good one, Brother Richard. Maybe I got it. Okay, the woman at the well. What happened? She was there. She had a need. He must needs go through Samaria. He wanted to meet there. And by the way, that opened up the opportunity to minister to all kinds of people in the city where the disciples just had been available to the woman at the well. Good. Rebecca? Okay. Taking the children on his lap. I do have that one in my notes. And the disciples, what they want to do? Reject him. Hey, go, 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 go. Get away from me. Jesus said, whoa, 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 whoa. Suffer the little children to come. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Anastasia? Okay, so he's going to hear Jairus' daughter. He was making himself available for that. And then a woman touched him. Virtue went out. He stops, deals with her individually, even though the people around him go, really? Who touched you? You're in this massive crowd and you're wondering who touched you? No, I'm not talking about that kind of touch. A specific touch. Okay? He was available. Yes, Caleb? The maniac of Gadara. Who would have even taken the time to spend with him? I mean, after all, that guy can't even think straight. Isn't anybody to spend time with him? Good one. Brother Dale? Okay, so several occasions he healed blind men, and in some cases, the blind men made a loud appeal. This is what I need from you. Jesus stopped what he was doing to meet that specific need. Excellent. Rebecca? Zacchaeus. Okay, very good one. In the tree. Excellent. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so he ate with publicans and sinners. Was he criticized for that? You better believe it. Boy, if he knew who that was. I love it when Jesus calls them out, right? Especially when he calls out somebody who's thinking in their heart something and Jesus tells them that. You would think that would alert them, right? Pastor Shrett? Okay, Nicodemus is the first one on my list. He was available with Nicodemus at night. He comes to Jesus and he's asking questions and he takes the time to do that. Brother Lewis? Ooh. He touched the lepers. Let's think for a minute. Why is that so significant? There was multiple things that was significant about it, right? Number one, there was no cure for leprosy. It was transmittable, right? If you touched a leopard, what did you have to do? Unclean, unclean. Jesus didn't mind. Healed him anyway. I love it. I love it. Someone else I saw. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so he took time for his disciples to teach them. And even after rejection, remember that story where it says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure you especially tell Peter this is what's happening. So, man, you guys are talking tonight. I love it. Joey. Ooh, the adulterous woman. Isn't that a fascinating story? It's fascinating because men are the accusers and they didn't bring the man. They just bring the lady. Pretty interesting. How does Jesus respond to her? Amazing. Amazing. Don't you wish you knew what was written in the sand? Man, maybe we don't. But anyway, it's pretty intriguing. Yes, sir, Brother Bill? Okay. Yeah. What about him? It's like, oh, well, Lord, but I got this part of me that's unbelief too. Excellent. And Jesus took time with him. Yes, Raphael? Okay. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Multiple examples. He ate in their home. He waited specifically to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he was available. It wasn't like he just didn't have time for them. Okay, Brother Kevin? Aha. I wondered when somebody would get to Calvary. Made himself available for us on the cross. He didn't die for himself on the cross. He died for us, for our sin. So, yes, sir. Okay. The man at the pool of Bethesda. Someone else. Brother Dave. Feed the multitudes. Hey, I don't want to send them away hungry. They've been with me all day long. Don't do that. Colin? Thief on the cross. This day, you'll be with me in paradise. Mr. Red? He washed the disciples' feet. What was the context of that? Moments before his arrest. Moments before his darkest hour from a physical standpoint on earth. He's taking the time to wash their feet and to continue to train them. Amazing. Josh? Sermon on the Mount. Okay, all kinds of things there. Brother Dale, do you have another one? Okay, the synagogues. He went there specifically to deal with the house of Israel because he wanted to reach them. Excellent. Brother John? Yeah. Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. What about the sick man let down through the roof? Again, as we think about modern day, we'd be like, are you crazy? You just ripped up our roof. You messed up the meeting, right? Yeah, Pastor Shrett. Excellent. Even on the cross. Hope? Okay, even in Gethsemane, he healed Malchus's ear. He's constantly making himself available to people. Yes, Rebecca? Okay, excellent. Do you get the point? Jacob? Okay, after his resurrection, he's still teaching. He's still making himself available. By the way, he's still available on our behalf, is he not? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. What an amazing Savior we have. He didn't come, it wasn't about him. It was about us and serving others, making himself available. You ever get tired and just want to check out for a little while? Every mother in the room says yes, right? life is that way sometimes. Whether you're serving a mate, or whether you're serving a child, or whether you're serving a grandchild, or whether you're serving another family member, or a friend, or neighbor, or whatever it may be. But when we make ourselves available, look at the impact our Lord made because he touched lives. Last year at the Wilds Conference that we go to in March, one of the main thoughts that I got out of it, I have it in my devotional journal, is ministry is touching lives. That's what ministry is. It's touching lives. You could do that constantly if you just make yourself available to what God wants to do. You know what's interesting about every one of these stories, and we could go on and on, couldn't we? About men and ladies in the Word of God who made themselves available. We just finished the book of Esther, making themselves available. But in every case, there was danger, there was sacrifice, there was uncomfortable situations, or maybe all the above. And yet, they made themselves available. Availability says, here I am. Use me ever how you see fit. Years ago, Pastor Shrett used the illustration. Take a blank contract and sign your name and give it to God. Whatever you want to do. You fill in the details. The truth is, most of us are really nervous about that. Most of us find ourselves saying, and we talked about this even in my home this week, most of us know that God will choose best and that what he chooses is best, but I might still have to go through it. Right? It's like, oh, you know,
then it goes back to how much do I really trust him and how much do I really make myself available to him. I love this illustration. An elderly widow, restricted in her activities, was eager to serve Christ. After praying about this, she realized that she could bring blessing to others by playing the piano. The next day, she placed this small ad in the Oakland Tribune. Pianist will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. The notice included the number to dial. When people called, she would ask, "What hymn would you like to hear?" Within months, her playing had brought cheer to several hundred people. Many of them freely poured out their hearts to her, and she was able to help them and encourage them. Isn't that amazing? Available. God, here's what I have. You can use it ever how you want to use it. Just take it and use it. So let's think specifically. We've got just a couple of minutes. We've already got you involved tonight, but what does availability look like today? I'm talking about everyday things. What would availability look like in your life and in my life? Let's talk about them some. Josh. Okay, carrying tracts in your pocket. Because if God prompts your heart, you got to be ready, right? Good. Anastasia? Okay, so slowing down, just simply pausing a little bit and saying, whoa, wait just a minute. Pastor's daughter and son-in-law, Jeremy and Sherry in Missouri, that's where Caleb and Hannah are going to serve. They have a really cool idea. Caleb brought it home, but they have a card. It's like a little business card. On the back of it has the gospel. On the front of it, it says, "You have just been blessed by a member of Faith Baptist Church, Higginsville, Missouri." And he's encouraged his people to say, hey, if you want to be involved in this stuff of paying for somebody's drive-thru behind you, or you want to pay for this, or you want to do this, just leave that card. So that when they get up there, it's not just some random stranger, but it was someone specifically with you in mind, and the gospel is able to be shared. That's a really cool idea, just making ourselves available through that. So good. Brother Dale? Okay, so listening, instead of being quick to come up with the next thing that I need to say in the process. Excellent, right? What else? Availability look like in everyday lives? Anyone else? Yes, Rebecca? I didn't pay her to say that, but signing up for the church work day. That's a great application of this, right? Brother Andrew likes that one, right? But really, that is the truth of it, okay? Someone else? Practical ways. How can being available lead to sharing Christ? Okay, making a meal for a sick friend. Lisa? Yeah, Dr. Jim Shetler, who pastored in Pensacola for years and years and years, talks about this. A guy in a pickup truck, just a whole load of lumber fell out of the back of his pickup truck. He's going up a hill, and he said cars were honking and yelling at him. He said as if the guy wasn't already having a bad enough day, like he wanted to spread the lumber all over the right. He said he and his son just jumped out and started helping him reload the truck and tie it down, and the guy was just profusely grateful. And then he said, then I was able to share the gospel with him. He said, do you think he said no to me when I asked him about sharing the gospel? No. He's going to listen to it. So, yeah, excellent opportunities to lead someone to Christ. You know what? I say to you often that Brother Andy Bonikowski communicates with us, and he's actually in the States, as I mentioned. But it's interesting. Let me get this right. Danny's wife's parents were dead in the middle of the impact zone of this hurricane in Florida. They lost everything, okay? Even the business he worked at was destroyed. I mean, they're right in the middle. And so the father-in-law said, Danny, can you come help people? They said, we don't even know where to begin. So Danny flew from Spain And his matter of fact, today, I think he's in Panama City today. I think it's Panama City is where he's at. And not only that, but Mark, his brother, stopped what he was doing, and he's going to be down there as well. And guess what the opportunities that's going to bring to them? I realize everybody can't stop their job immediately and so forth, but it's still the idea of make ourselves available. I got to be done. How does availability encourage others? Just think about this. How has availability in your life, in other words, someone else has made themselves available to you, been an encouragement to you? And if you think about that, you think, oh, was it ever? This happened or that happened. You do that. Don't you think you'd encourage someone else to? Be available. Can't be used of God if we don't make ourselves available. Father, thank you for your word and for the encouragement just from these Bible stories to make ourselves available. We love you. In your name we pray.